Good morning. We encourage those here in the sanctuary and those with us online to follow along in your own Bibles or with the words that you see on the screen as I share from Luke 19, 28 through 40, as it is recorded in the First Nations Version, an indigenous translation of the New Testament. After he told this story, Creator Sets Free walked on ahead of his followers to Village of Peace. When he came to House of Figs, at the foot of Olive Mountain, he said to two of his followers, "Go to House of Unripe Figs, and on the other side of the mountain, when you come into the village, you will see a young donkey colt tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, say this to them, 'Our wisdom keeper is in need of it.'" His followers did as they were told. When they arrived at the village, they found everything just as he had said. When they started untying the colt, the owners asked them, "What are you doing?" They answered the owners just as they had been instructed. So they were permitted to go. They brought the young donkey colt to Creator Sets Free and laid their deerskins and tribal blankets on the young donkey colt. He then mounted the colt and began his ride. Creator Sets Free came riding into the sacred Village of Peace down Olive Mountain toward the eastern entry. Into Village of Peace that is called Beautiful Gate. His 12 followers encircled him and led the colt forward. He did not fit the powerful image of a conquering ruler, for he was not riding a war horse. Instead, he rode a small, humble donkey colt. No mighty warriors rode next to him. No dignitaries came out to meet him. It was mostly the common people who welcomed him that day. As he rode forward, some of the people began to spread their buffalo robes on the road in front of Creator Sets Free. When he reached the foot of Olive Mountain, the whole village was in an uproar. His followers began to sing to Creator and shout out loud, praising him for the powerful signs they had seen. "Blessed is the great chief who comes representing the Great Spirit. Peace to the Spirit, world above, and honor and shining greatness to the one above us all." Some of the separated ones who were in the crowd spoke up. "Wisdom keeper," they cried out. "Warn your followers to watch what they are saying. It is dangerous. It was a dangerous thing to call anyone a thief or chief or ruler in front of the soldiers of the people of iron who were guarding the area. I will tell you this," he said to them. "If they were silenced, the very stones and rocks we are walking on would lift their voices and cry out."
It's not the waking, it's the rising. It is the grounding of a foot uncompromising. It's not forgoing of the light. It's not the opening of eyes. It's not the waking, it's the rising. It's not the shade, we should be past it. It's the light and it's the obstacle cast. It's the heat that drives the light, and it's the fire it ignites. It's not the waking, it's the rising. It's not the song, it is the singing. It's the heaven of the human spirit ringing. It is the bringing bearing of the light. It is the bearing of the light. It's not the waking, it's the rising. And I could cry, power, power, power. Need a cry, power. Billy cry, power. Mavis cry, power. And I could cry, power, power, power. Curtis cry, power. Patty cry, power. Need a cry, power. It's not the war, but what's behind it. Lord, the fear of phenomenon is near excitement. In everything that we're denied by keeping the divide, it's not the waking, it's the rising. And I could cry, tells you to rattle your chains if you love being free. Oh Lord, Lord, I could cry, power, 'cause power is my love when my love reaches for me. James Brown cried, power. Cedar cried, power. Marvin cried, power.
The chaste attempt to charm the barista that hit wrong. Awkward. Other decisions to avert my eyes, keep it cold, transactional, boring. To the compost. My choice to pay for an expensive degree in a non-lucrative field. Foolish. The weight of years of small choices to beat myself up about it. More foolish and heavy. To the compost, everybody plays the fool. The table scraps at our old house, to the compost. The table scraps at our new house, to the garbage can. In the before, was I more virtuous or more uptight? Maybe I'll reform. The first draft of my essay on de Tocqueville, so many teeming soldier flies. The 50 drafts of my essay on economic rhetoric in New York City, more soldier flies. The ideas coming sweet and true in new context 20 years later, a purple crocus from compost-filled earth. Parent participation, preschool and swim team board and soccer board and neighborhood association board and chalice camp at the old church and kitchen table at the new church and the flower arranging job at the 23rd Street Zendo, a relentless responsibility it turned out. Flowers wilt and die. After school duty at the teacher job, the habits of the American heart, de Tocqueville. Spoke of live on. compost for a better America when I am gone.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You are speaking truth to power. You are laying down our swords, replanting every vineyard till a
let the people say amen. 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 Mm. Welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Linda Duhirsu. I'm a crier, and alongside Matt Smith, who is also a crier, I serve as a co-pastor of this beautiful community of faith. We are grateful, so grateful, to welcome everyone, and we are also grateful each week to root our lives in God's grace through weekly worship like this, both in person and online. We also grow in faith in our weekly kitchen tables, and those are our small groups. We feel like they are the heartbeat of our community of faith. Every week, many of us gather, most of us gather, to hold our lives in conversation with God's great commandment, loving God, loving our neighbors. And also, we search scripture together with others. Pastor Matt and I also lead a six-week series. It's called Growing in Faith, and that is what helps newcomers move into our small groups, which are called kitchen tables. Our next group is going to begin in April. We're finishing up one tonight and finishing another on Tuesday evening. April has a few spots left, and then pretty soon we'll post some more of when we are going to be leading those. All of our fabulous youngest friends, our children, grow in faith with an outdoor version of godly play at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, and there's loving childcare also out there. As a community of faith, we reach in love in a lot of ways. I'm just going to lift up our community volunteer shifts out at our little farm called Table Farm. Those are on Tuesdays and Fridays and Saturdays, and you don't have to know what you're doing because Chloe and Avery are out there, as are others who do know what they're doing. And, you know, you can't really do much damage with a shovel, and there's plenty of weeds, so you've got this. And we need everyone's help as we prepare the back half, the last portion of our farm for all the spring planting. And if you go out there, you can already see in the front portion, seeds that have been sown are popping up. A special note for all of us who are gathering online. Chloe is there with you, hosting you. Molly is here in the room, I think, somewhere, but she may have gone up there as well. If you have any questions as you are finding your way online, wanting to register or sign in or not, both of those are okay. Please message them, and they will help you and guide you if you have any trouble at all. And if you want to follow along where we are in the flow of worship, use the QR code. There's one, it'll be in the comments online, and they're all around the pews in the seats here in the sanctuary. And if you don't really want to follow along and just go with the Spirit, that's fine. Just ignore everything I just said. We are moving into Holy Week. Today is Palm Sunday, and we just want to lift up that we will gather out at the farm, not online, but out at the farm on Maundy Thursday. That'll be at 6 p.m. And we invite you to come and bring some juice or wine and bread to share. We'll have some local cider out there as we celebrate Jesus's last meal with his disciples and we visit with one another out at the farm. On Holy Friday, we'll be gathered here and online at 7 p.m. And then we will gather down at McKinley Park Rose Garden at 6:30 a.m. Easter morning for you early risers, and 9:30 and 11 for the rest of the world. But we will be baptizing four fabulous humans, and it's always a beautiful thing. And you can do more than one Easter. You know, there's no rule that you can't. We're going to get ready to move on in our worship series here. I think I'm dismissing the kids. Let's wait as we continue to move in our worship series. This is Guide My Feet. Let's stand on those feet that God is guiding. Thank you.
All right, so at this time we invite our young friends to make their ways to the play yard with our godly play teacher. I will continue scripture from Luke 19, 41 through 48. Luke's gospel continues. As he rode forward, he could see the sacred village of peace, and tears began to run down his face. He could taste the salt from his tears as he opened his mouth in anguish. Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you are the sacred village of peace. He wept out loud. Of all people, you should be the ones who would know the way of peace. But on this sacred day, the way of peace is hidden from your eyes. In the days ahead, your enemies will encircle you and close in on you from every side. You will be crushed and trampled down, along with all your children. Every lodge will fall, and not even one pole, log, or stone will be left standing against another. All of this will happen because you did not know it was your time for the Great Spirit to visit you. Then he rode through the beautiful gate into the village and up to the sacred lodge. As he entered the lodge and came into the area, he called gathering place for the nations. It was here that other nations could come to learn about the Great Spirit and his ways. The holy men were using this place to buy and sell ceremonial animals, but it was so crowded that there was not enough room for the people from other nations who wanted to learn about Creator's ways. They were not honoring the purpose of this holy place. He entered the lodge and began to force out the ones who were buying and selling the ceremonial animals. "It is written in the sacred teachings," he cried out, "my lodge will be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a hideout for thieves." In the days that followed, Creator sets free came each day to the sacred lodge to teach and tell his stories. The head holy men, the scroll keepers, and the spiritual leaders took counsel together to plan new ways to have him killed. But they could not figure out what to do, for the people had great respect for him and held on to every word he said.
Growing hearts around us.
that trees of hope give shade to all mankind. Sister, take my hand. Brother, we will stand. Open up your heart and your mind. Love is turning over tables, breaking off chains. I see you in strangers, no longer a slave. Turning over tables, tearing down walls, building up the bridges between us all.
Amen. And I want to invite us to be seated. And as our musicians move down, I'm going to invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, may your love, which indeed is turning over tables, your love, which is meeting us in the depths of grief, your love that calls us into the chaotic turbulence of the week that is ahead, may we find ourselves in this moment trusting in the depth of your story, and find our own lives woven in the threads of your grace. Amen. Pastor Linda was pretty anxious a couple weeks ago. She had reached out maybe to a few of you, trying to figure out how could we secure palm branches. It turns out a couple years of pandemic and being online, you just don't think through all of these different details in certain ways. And we were feeling the anxiety of, can you have Palm Sunday without palms? And then I stumbled on a commentary. It's by a pastor whose name is Carl Jacobson, and he draws our attention to the elephant in the proverbial room, and that's this. There are actually no palm branches in Luke's gospel. None of them. None. And so we relaxed. We actually look through the story. It's recorded in each of the four Gospels differently, this story of Jesus turning toward Jerusalem, what the church knows so commonly as Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Everyone knows that's the Sunday before Easter. Well, in Matthew's Gospel, there's really just the mentioning of cloaks being thrown on the road. There's some cut branches from trees. In Mark, there's more cloaks, and then there's leafy branches. In Luke, there's more cloaks on the road. And it's only in John where we see palm branches. Talk about mixing up our sense of like what we think we know when we show up to Palm Sunday. Each of the Gospels does indeed tell a version of this story of Jesus coming on some version of like a young donkey, young colt. And each of the Gospels telling of this story includes an echo of Psalm 118. And so Pastor Jacobson says that we should probably more aptly call this not Palm Sunday, but Psalm Sunday. I thought it was intriguing. Psalm 118, verse 26 said, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." In each of the Gospels, we heard it today from Avery in the First Nations version, but each of the Gospels in every different translation echoes some expression of this chorus line. It's known in the Psalms as a song of victory. So in Matthew's version, it's Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest heaven. Or in Mark's version, it's again, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Luke tells it, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. And John, again, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Each of the Gospels tells a slightly different version of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. It's as though to me in this worship series that the details of this are getting mixed up in the passion and maybe the fury of the moment as folks are throwing their cloaks, their coats in the ancient world, their identities, waving branches, raising their voices. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And then it's at that moment that some of the Pharisees demand that everything stops. The separated ones, as we heard in the First Nations version, they speak to Jesus, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And before we turn to this together, I want to just remind us for just a moment where we find ourselves on this long Lenten journey toward the subversive hope of resurrection at Easter. We began this composting faith series back on Ash Wednesday, gathering our materials. Adam, remembering Adam, first human from Adama, the dirt of the earth. We wondered together about our individual bodies and also our collective bodies, how these might be locations, containers, really, containers for God's composting faith to work within us. I shared briefly about our family's discernment around locating our compost, and then we reflected on the ways in which our Christian tradition chose Jerusalem for where Jesus's faith would be composted by God. We turned to the parable that's most often called the prodigal son and wondered, what would it look like to actually fill compost bins with the shame and honor culture that is so insidious in our day and also in the ancient world? Last week, Pastor Linda invited us to observe how this Deuteronomic call to generosity was distorted by Judas and then lived into by Mary, and invited us to join with Mary in that posture of generosity. And now we find ourselves this far into the Lenten journey, finally turning toward Jerusalem. And it seems whichever gospel we turn to, the emotions and the intensity of what's happening is swelling. So why might these Pharisees, these separated ones, want to stop Jesus in his tracks right outside of Jerusalem? It's often the case that the Pharisees are read as religious leaders who are simply not able to see the presence of God that's right there before them. Another way that we interpret this is that these are likely some of the ones who in the coming days will stand by and call for Jesus' life to be taken. Those are possible, to be sure, but I've come to wonder this week if maybe these religious authorities are calling everyone to stop because they actually know what's happening. Riding into Jerusalem atop a colt, that's how kings approach the city. This is nothing less than a revolutionary political act. This is what the people had been longing for someone to rise from their midst and to receive the mantle from the prophets who have gone before, and then to stand in the long line of people who have taken the foot of the oppressor off of the people of God's necks. And see, I wonder if the Pharisees, they've actually been observing what's been going on. They have a sense, having watched this all cook in our composting image over these last weeks, and ultimately they are not ready to mix things up with empire. They look at this colt donkey and think, this is not going to go well. And most often on Sundays, our readings on Palm or Psalm Sunday stop right here with the Pharisees calling everything to a halt, and then Jesus saying that, I tell you, if these are silent, even the stones will cry out. So Jesus, in contrast to the Pharisees, is no longer willing to just observe. He is clear that the composting pile of Jerusalem has to be mixed right now, rotated. And while we will move from crying hail or Hosanna to nail him over these coming days, I found myself focused in these last couple of weeks around what happens in the moments right after this. Most oftentimes on Palm Sunday, we end here with the stones crying out, and then we regather on Monday, Thursday, remembering the last meal, and then we move into Holy Friday, and we skip over what happens right afterwards. And maybe you heard it in the second reading from Avery. It echoes Luke 13, where Jesus looks out over Jerusalem and weeps after dismissing the Pharisees' concerns. And he does that again. He does that again here in Luke 19, just after he's ridden in through the gates of peace, as we just heard it talked about. Jesus is warned by the Pharisees to stop. And he says, even if we stop, the stones will cry out. And then he weeps. This is not what most people would expect from a revolutionary king. To follow up this grand ride into the city with tears. But this is how Jesus embodies his royal lineage nonetheless. And as those tears are still falling from his face, Luke's gospel then turns to the temple where the vendors have set up. And it's striking to me that all of this happens in the same day. It's taken so long to get to this moment. And then all of these emotions that swirl turn upon themselves all in the same day. First, we hear Jesus lament, if you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. And then he goes on to describe the destruction that's coming upon Jerusalem. And he finishes saying that because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God, all of this destruction will happen. And as we've unpacked in previous weeks, Jerusalem is the ultimate place chosen by our tradition for Jesus' faith to be composted by God. Jerusalem is a symbol for all of God's people. I think you could say for all of creation. And thus we find ourselves here in Jerusalem on Psalm Sunday. Jesus has entered in triumph atop a donkey. And here, Creator sets free will be met by his own people who are turning away from him as he faces down the insidiousness of empire. Jesus cries and turns over tables on this Sunday as a reminder, it seems to me, of how quickly we rotate from recognizing Jesus, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, to crying for his crucifixion at the hands of empire, from Hosanna in the highest to crucify him. It's a reminder of how easily we can mix up the hopes that we have for Creator sets free. We see him atop that donkey, And then we join with others in the commotion, the possibility of taking off our identities and putting them on the ground for him to enter upon. And then within moments, we see the tears falling down his face, and we're reminded of the vulnerability of this one who is calling us to new life. And then we see him held by soldiers. We watch the rage in his eyes as he turns over tables, and then are met again by the weakness and vulnerability that's on full display as he's taken to an ancient version of a lynching tree. How quickly the dangers of following him can lead us to turn away from Creator sets free. So as we turn into this holiest of weeks, I want to invite us to wonder about where we might see ourselves in this unfolding story. It can be tempting to just see this as ancient history, as something that happened in the past. And it might even be tempting for some of us to think that we could locate ourselves in just one of the places of this story. We do have 2,000 some odd years of hindsight, and it is easy to judge characters from a distance. But it feels to me like we might be in many places at the same time in this story. Perhaps there are those of us in this very room who are finding ourselves on that road to Jerusalem. We see something in Creator Sets Free sitting atop this less than imposing animal, and somehow we feel compelled to toss our coat, a symbol in the ancient world of our identity, our cloak onto the ground. Maybe some of us have been holding tight to versions of the stories we tell ourselves about who we are, and maybe we might be called to get caught up in this moment and take some of those off and place them at the feet of God. Perhaps some of us are hearing that Nina cried power, and that feels like too much. So we are calling people to stop. We don't feel ready. We're like the separated ones. This can't be the right moment. We're not ready to face empire head on. We see what's coming. We don't want to cry power. Perhaps there are some among us who aren't crying power right now. We're just feeling the tears of grief for the realities of the world around us. Maybe sitting beside Jesus atop that hilltop, looking upon the mess of the world, and we don't really have words. We just have the feelings. Perhaps some of us are like the ones that are stunned to see Jesus turning over tables because we are practicing our faith in ways that are so entangled in late capitalism that we can't get out of it, and we just don't even know where to begin. We just know that Jesus keeps on turning the tables over. Perhaps some of us are even seeing in our own lives and identities right now ways that we're turning away from Creator Sets Free in this mission that won't be deterred. See, Psalm Sunday, it feels to me, invites us into these breadth of human responses to Jesus, a breadth that is always, always mixed up inside almost all of us. And today's readings mark this turbulent and chaotic move to the composting pile of Jerusalem. And today, the pile is all mixed up and turned over. Everything becomes unmoored and uncertain. What we know is that the smell of death in the Christian tradition is in the air. Decay is beneath our fingertips. Something like the dirt is beneath the fingertips of the farmers around us. And I don't imagine that people on the other side of Easter actually trusted that God's composting faith was at work much more than I often do. But indeed, that's the promise that Luke's gospel has for us. The promise that mixing up and rotating this movement that begins and then moves through the week that is ahead, the promise is for God's composting faith to always already be at work in both the tragedy and the trauma and the hope of our lives. We can't actually stop what's before us. When we try, even stones cry out. And so God is simply determined to bring each and every part of you, of me, and of all of us back into God's composting heart. So whether you're shouting Hosanna or shouting for everyone to stop, whether you're crying power or just crying, even when we're crying crucify him, God's composting faith will save us from all of the varied and mixed up parts of who we are. So may our souls be turned over in the days ahead. Amen.
And as our souls are turning, we still take steps forward, moving towards God's table. The table where Jesus welcomed the stranger next to the person close to him, next to his mother, next to the tax collector, and they all broke bread together. And the significance of this feast is with us each week, and today we are aware that we will break bread here, but we will also do that again on Thursday night together as God's people. So as we prepare ourselves for this feast today, we pause to acknowledge that churning and turning and rotating and mixing within our bodies and souls. And we want to also pause to acknowledge how mixed up we always get, we human beings, children of God. So I invite us to rise as we are able and willing to pause and pray this prayer of confession, which comes to us by a scholar and an activist. His name is Vine Deloria. He's from the Native American tradition, and he too knows what it looks like to pause and turn away from God. So with his words, let us confess. The lands of the planet call to humankind for redemption. But it is a redemption of sanity, not a supernatural reclamation project at the end of history. The lands wait for those who can discern their rhythms, the peculiar genius of each continent, each river valley, the rugged mountains, the placid lakes, all call for relief from the constant burden of exploitation. Who will find peace with the lands? The future of humankind lies waiting for those who will come to understand their lives and take up their responsibilities to all living things. Who will listen to the trees, the animals and birds, the voices of the places of the land. Hear these words, these ancient words that feel so relevant in assuring us of God's loving spirit and forgiving heart. We are called to show ourselves to those in need, to heal the sick, to fill the hungry, to give freedom to those who are imprisoned, and to console all those who are faint of heart. This is Christ's beauty and love. This is Christ's way, and it is yours and mine and God's world's this day and forevermore. Let's say amen.
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 And I invite you to join together in the call and response that has been the church's practice for recognizing the love and the presence of Christ in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. God are the giver of every good thing. You create the visible world and all it contains. You inebriate it with inexhaustible springs. And you said, let us make humanity in our own image. And you gave us souls endowed with reason and judgment. And you gave us bodies endowed with five senses and with movement. And you brought us into this paradise of delights. But we scorned your commandment. And you rightly thrust us forth from paradise. But you did not wholly reject us in our lost state. You promised to release us from the bonds of death so that we might live and rise from the dead.
Fire of compassion descended and took up residence in bread. Fire and spirit are in the womb of the one who bore you. Fire and spirit are in the river in which we are baptized. Fire and spirit are in the baptismal font, and the bread and the cup are fire, fire and Holy Spirit. Christ's body is newly mingled with our bodies. Christ's blood, too, poured into the veins of creation. Christ's voice in our ears, brightness in our eyes, in God's compassion. The whole of Christ is mingled with the whole of creation.
Invite us into prayer with the ancient words that Jesus passed on to his disciples. They passed that prayer on to the church. The church has molded it and remade it through the centuries. And this is a version paraphrase from the New Zealand prayer book. So let us pray with one voice. Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be. Father and mother of us all, loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever.
Amen. Holy Spirit, pour your Spirit upon each of us gathered here and spread in many places. Pour your Spirit on these gifts which are here before us. Make these gifts, the body and the love of Christ, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, Christ's love alive in the world. Amen.
You may be seated. All are welcome at God's table. We here at the table in the sanctuary share this feast out of doors. Those of us who gather online in various places, this is the time you would bring together close to you what you are using for bread and juice this day. For those of us here, Avery will come down the center aisle and direct you out of doors. It's one of the ways we continue to watch over one another in love. And quite seriously, we're thinking maybe we'll just keep it this way. Because it's a really beautiful reminder, if we let it be, that God's creation is where we kneel and eat and gather, not always within God's walls here, yeah? So remember, as we have this feast at home, as we share this feast here, there's nothing you can do to make a mistake. We are in God's divine dance with one another.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you, and the cup of the new covenant, God's love poured out for you.
Thank you.
We encourage those who are praying with candles to stay for as long as you need. Loving God, we entrust our lives into the depths of your holy mystery, this divine dance through which you are revealed to creation in the simple and sacred act of breaking bread. May your peace make us one and call us to love one another in the name of Jesus Christ, our hope. Amen. We hope that you will and feel inspired to respond to however God's love might be stirring within you. We respond to that love in many, many different ways here at the table. Our Easter offering this year will be going directly to support the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership's food closet, which is just a few blocks from where Table Farm is located. You are encouraged to join us on Thursday, for Monday, Thursday, out at Table Farm. We'll be there at 6 p.m. for about an hour and a half or so. We'll have a remembering of Jesus' last supper with those closest to him. We will have homemade breads that folks in our community will be bringing. We'll have cider to taste, juice, and things like that. It'll be a very kid-friendly space. We would encourage you also to wonder about how you might find time to be with us on Friday as we mark what the church calls Holy Friday at 7 p.m. We'll be here in the sanctuary and online, and that'll be a more adult-centered gathering as we remember the crucifixion of Jesus at the hands of Empire. On Easter morning, we'll be at sunrise at 6:30 in the morning. We'll be celebrating resurrection and baptism together in the Rose Garden of McKinley Park, and then here as well in the sanctuary at 9:30 and at 11. We know there are many people around us whose lives got turned upside down, ourselves included, over this last time. So there may be folks that you're feeling led to invite you to join us, whether that's at sunrise at the Rose Garden or here in the sanctuary at Easter. We hope that you'll be brave and take a next step and wondering who around you might be longing to connect in community right now. We are going to move online. For those online, we'll move in song, and then we would welcome you to sign in, and you can join there with Chloe and Molly to check in, to watch over each other in love. We know that's a vulnerable and sometimes brave things to do. Here, in those of us inside in the sanctuary, we'll move out. There's a next steps table if you'd like to connect with Avery about joining our hospitality team. We also have some starters from the farm that we would commend to you as well, if you'd like to take those with you. We're going to go out in song, reminding ourselves that even as the world and also as the story of Holy Week leaves us with this chaos of celebration and looking toward Jerusalem, and then in tears, and then with tables turned over, amidst all of that, God still specializes in things thought impossible. So I invite you to stand as you're willing and able, and we'll go out in song. May we go in that peace and that power of a God who specializes in meeting us in the mess of hosannas being yelled to crucify him, which is just days away, and the tears and everything in between. Go in peace and in the power of God. Amen.